Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm laughing because this is take two with a wonderful woman that I interviewed a couple of weeks ago. But my tech meter was not doing well, and it didn't record. So I'm actually seeing it as a bonus because I love this lady. She has become a friend, and I love the chance we get to talk again. So before I introduce her, I'm just going to say, Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I'm back. I'm glad to be back for the second time.
I know. I love it. It's a bonus. So what we're going to talk about today is let me start again. Today, I'm sitting down with someone who has changed my thoughts around AI in a sense that that's saying something, because I've been on quite the AI journey myself lately, and she's put different perspective in there. And so we're going to look at that. Dawn is an executive leadership consultant, a business strategist, and host of the She's That Founder podcast. She works with female founders running businesses from $500K to $5 million, helping them step fully into their role as CEO without burning out or losing what makes them great at what they do. What I find so refreshing about Dawn is that she's not selling AI as a magic fix. She sees it as something that gives you back the most precious thing in business, time. Time to show up fully for the relationships that matter. And we know that I love that part. That is a conversation I couldn't wait to have again on Relationships Rule. And I think before I get into the questions with her, I want to just mention that at the end of our non-recording last time, we discovered that, in fact, we have a relationship in common. My sister's ex-business partner. And it was kind of fun to discover that we actually, you know, are one step closer, so to speak, in that Kevin Bacon thing or whatever you want to call it.
6 degrees.
Exactly. Yeah, 6 degrees. So that was kind of special too. So Dawn, before we get into the practical stuff, I want to start somewhere personal. What is the biggest relationship mistake that you see female founders making? And does it surprise you, or is it always the same story?
The biggest mistake I see female founders making with their relationships is one that I make myself. And it's trusting that everybody is always there waiting for you, and you don't necessarily follow up or stay in touch or just show up, just be visible with regularity, especially in the relationships that you want to nurture and build, and even the most important ones. Like, sometimes we just kind of go silent or go dark and need to connect back with people. And I make that mistake myself. That's part of the reason I'm so bullish on AI. And and I think what's underneath that is that we think that it takes too much effort or energy, when especially nowadays it really doesn't require as much as maybe it used to, just to be able to stay in contact with people.
You know, it's funny. I just saw a friend of mine post about that very thing on LinkedIn this morning, and I preach on it myself, and I make the mistake also, as we all do, because we're not organized enough, or we get busy looking for the next new shiny star or person. And I think it's an old stat now, but I think it's still true. 68% of your clients leave because of indifference, because we don't pay attention to them. And there's so many more shiny objects out there for them that they don't care anymore. They'll just move on. And that hasn't changed with technology, without technology, whatever. It just takes a little time to show people that you care. And that's all it takes. A card, a note, a text, an email, a phone call that you know isn't going to get answered, but you can leave a message, right? So it is still really one of those things in my heart that I think needs to be paid more attention to. So,
well, and from a revenue perspective, because if you look at, I don't know how true it is necessarily for a product-based business, but for service-based businesses, you make more money from the clients you've already had than you do from the acquisition cost and pursuit of a new client. Like, it's we all, you know, most of us that are entrepreneurial and in service-based businesses love shiny new toys. So we pursue them with vigor. But where your revenue, like your bottom line actually changes is in going more deeply with the people who already know and love you and trust you, have received your great services, and the growth of your business, like the next iteration of your services, comes out of the needs of those clients. So it's
Absolutely.
everything to be able to stay in touch.
Absolutely. You have a really clear way of thinking about where AI fits in a business relationship. You divide it into three distinct roles. Can you walk us through that framework? Because I think it reframes the whole conversation about AI and human connection.
So as I was thinking about AI, like maybe, and maybe you and or your listeners have experienced this, like once you realize you have something that can help you write that email that's taking a little bit too long to write, or help you come up with content for LinkedIn, even if it doesn't really sound like you or isn't quite on point, you get really excited. You're like, oh my gosh, I have so much more time. But I realized in grabbing that time back that I needed to put some parameters around where AI contributes, where I contribute, and you know, since we're talking about LinkedIn and here on Relationships Rule, like where it crosses over with LinkedIn. So my three buckets when it comes to AI in relationship building is what AI handles, what humans own, and what LinkedIn does. So the examples would be what AI can handle for you and give you your time back and keep the follow-up happening is context recall, like who is this person? Where did they come from? Where do I know them from? What have they done? It can draft the outreach, like we talked about. It can help with your follow-up timing, like in reminding you, okay, you haven't talked to Janice in like 3 months. Maybe you want to ping her and send something. It can help you personalize things at scale. So I have a free community, the AI for Founders community on LinkedIn, and it helps me personalize messages, direct messages to everybody that is in that group so that I can stay in touch with them on a more frequent basis rather than sending the exact same message to every single person in the list of people that are in the community.
And
And
you,
what was
sorry, go
that?
ahead. Go
Oh, I
ahead,
was just
finish.
going to say the last thing is it can help surface who's gone quiet in your network as well. Like, maybe you had some sort of relationship or conversation going, and then it's not going for some reason.
Okay, I knew I should have stopped you because I forget the first question I was going
Yeah.
to ask you. Okay, so let's go through the three things again. Just the first one is it helps.
AI handles it, and it can help you with context, outreach, follow-up timing,
That
personalization,
was it. Okay.
and who's
So
gone quiet.
how does AI help you with your reminders, for example, to reach out? How does that look? What does that look like?
So it helps me because I'll put together, depending upon what it is that I'm doing at the moment, like maybe there's a course or a training or a webinar or something that I have that's coming up that I think would be really interesting. In my perfect moments, and I'm not saying I do this consistently every time, but in my perfect moments, I'll put together a list of people that I think would be the right match for whatever that offering is. And then from there, it can go through either I can have it review LinkedIn for me or review my email sends to let me know when's the last time I reached out to that person and what did I reach out to them about.
How can I do that?
Because I have it in my CRM. Like I pull everybody's information into my email CRM.
Oh, like a separate standalone CRM system that your AI can is connected to.
And so it can help me see, okay, cool, Janice would be great for that, but you guys haven't really, like, she's gotten your weekly emails. She's only opened one of them
Oh my God.
over whatever time period. So you may need to either call or send a physical message or send a few emails just directly to her to warm that relationship up. Like, it just gives me quickly that data
Oh,
about that person so that I can be more effective with my time or with my team's time in reaching out to the people that are the right fit for this thing that I'm offering.
So do you what CRM do you use, or is it proprietary type of thing?
I use Go High Level.
Okay. So you have Claude, I think. Do you use Claude? And then you have it connected to go
And
high level.
you can build custom API
Right.
connections.
Yeah. Yeah. Through co-work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can code custom API, so call Claude code, so you can
Oh,
build
Claude
a
code.
custom connection. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also, inside high level, even separate from AI, I created a scoring system, which you can do inside high level, so that each time I send an email, it'll tell me if somebody opened it and or if they clicked the link, and each of those activities gives them a certain amount of points. And so I can look at the points of everybody that's in my system and see, if somebody has 800 points, then they've been engaging with me in a lot of different ways. And if somebody has 2 points, they opened one thing, maybe,
Yeah, wow.
it helps to direct where your energy goes.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive actually. I like it. So, I don't know where I got this question from. I love the idea of an AI manifesto, a set of guidelines for how a business uses AI. Where did that idea come from and what goes into one?
Well, an AI manifesto, I mean, for me, it just came together because this is the benefit. Okay, I'm Gen X. One of the benefits of being Gen X is that we have lived through technology adoptions. Like, people weren't using computers and then they started using computers. Like, I was a very young person when that happened, but it's like there is a definite before and after, and there is definitely a before and after now with AI. And knowing how and where and when you want to use AI in your business and what for, I think is really important, because I have experienced already as a founder using AI for the last 3 years, times when I would basically cede my point of view or my judgment or my decision making over to AI, like AI knew better. And in a certain sense, that's not wrong, because it's aggregating everything on the internet and everything in the algorithm to tell me whatever my answers are that it's giving me. But at the same time, I was cutting myself out of the smartness of whatever I was about to do next that AI had suggested. So an AI manifesto is just simply like, we use AI in this way. For instance, we use it to draft, but not for the final thing that we post. Or we use it for figuring out who we want to reach out to, and then it's the responsibility of my team or of myself to reach out to that person. Or we don't use client names and client details when we put information in to get information out. We protect the safety of it. We don't use AI to train, we don't use our content to train the models. We don't use tools like DeepSeek or Grok because they have horrible safety policies. So there's a lot that's going on in the world of AI and in the world of safety and ethics, and we're all kind of trying to navigate it on the fly. But having some of those boundaries determined for yourself and your business, I think, is just a really helpful place to start, and especially if you have a team that's using it along with you.
Yeah, I think you're right that we have to, if we're going to explore and learn these new tools, then we need to be responsible about knowing more than just, oh, this is fun. Let's do this again. You know, I just
Yeah.
actually saw a post on Instagram, and I forget who wrote it, but it was talking about, it's funny because it was talking about the ethics or lack of around Sam Altman and the owner of ChatGPT,
Yeah.
because there's a lot going on in the American government that just happened with that and everything. But it was funny. I already knew and a little bit, but it made me want to stop using chat altogether, which I hadn't, but I'd switched over to Claude mostly. But it is important to know the ethics and the boundaries and the things that they're doing at the helm of these things, because it's frightening, actually. You know, it can be.
Yeah. Well, and none of us, like, I want to be clear. I'm a heavy duty AI user. I like anything that's new, I'm willing to try. Like, but none of us are AI experts. Even people that have been working in AI in the last 10 to 15 years and developing, AI driven work, are still, none of us are experts because it is so constantly shifting. So that's why I really like the idea of an AI manifesto, because it's your boundaries at that given moment. And it can adapt and grow as you learn more, as your team learns more, as policies change, as tools change. But having a starting point for what you're willing to share, not share, do, not do, use, not use, I think is really helpful.
I think the other thing that a lot of people worry about, and I don't think you and I do this because we are aware of these things, but that people use AI sometimes to manage relationships, which make the whole thing, of course, less real. And I think it's like, I don't know, it's also not just relationships, but it's, I guess it's content too, because you can tell now, you can see the AI-driven content that's out there all everywhere and hasn't been tweaked, let's say, with the personal touch.
Yes. Well, there's a couple things that I say all the time. AI informs and you decide. So whatever question you're asking, let it be the information, just like Google used to do back in the day. You like Google some information and then make your decisions based on whatever your research was. So AI informs and you decide, and then AI drafts and you finalize.
Perfect.
So it's great to have it save you that time as a leader and somebody who's busy, but you have to give yourself the gift of putting yourself into it, and that gift gets passed on to the people that you're connecting with. That's the human's own part of that framework that we were talking about.
So you talk about founders becoming bottlenecks in their own follow-up, and that's a good segue into this. Not because they don't care, but because there's no system holding it together. What does that actually cost them in terms of real relationships?
I mean, kind of everything really. Like, I don't mean to be hyperbolic, but I know it because I do it and I've lived it, where you're like, oh my gosh, I need to reach out to a few people, and but I've got too many other things on the list today that need to happen first. And for every person that I'm not reaching out to, like my business selling cycle can be anywhere from 20 minutes to 18 months. Like, it can take that long to close a deal. And honestly, the ones that are closing in 20 minutes are usually because of something I said or started saying 18 months ago that now has had enough
Time.
repetition that that person is ready to close a deal with me now. So, I mean, it's costing you the future of your business, because whatever it is that you're sharing today is the beginning of like, that's the ticking clock for whatever your sales cycle is. So if it's 3 months, 18 months, whatever, and there are times when business has been really slow, maybe the economy had some sort of big swing, and those relationships that I had nurtured were the ones that came in and kept the business going, because I could shake the trees, so to speak, and talk to the people that I'd managed to maintain my connection with. And just to be like real, real, Janice, like as I'm saying this, I'm like, ooh, I really got to catch up with some people. Like, I'm realizing how much I need to get back into, reconnecting with folks.
And when you start to do it again, it feels so good. It really does, because you feel it stirring the pot as well as opening up doors. It's great. I know. I go through cycles as well. It's funny how that happens. Anyway, you work with founders who are used to being the person everyone leans on, the one with all the answers, all the relationships, all the institutional knowledge. How do you help them start trusting AI with any part of that when letting go doesn't come naturally to them?
So AI, it's baby steps, and I mean, or big swings. If you're a big swing kind of person, go for it. But I think that AI can help get out of your head the way that you like to work, what's important to you, what your standards are, what your values are, and literally the process that you want people to follow. Like, we call them SOPs, but there's so much more than that, and AI can help founders pull that information out and even create their own AI brain that their team can call upon to help build trust and consistency, so that founders who are a little bit more nervous about handing things off can start to see evidence that it's working before they do the big pass over of whatever a project or a responsibility is.
Yeah, it's funny how I tested that actually the other day because I've just created my brain in Claude and I had it in one of my projects, and the project is to help create for my I try to do a framework for my clients of their about section that we're going to discuss and build. So we have a framework that AI has helped me with based on the information I put in about that person. But because my brain was in there, it was skewing it into my sort of style, right? Not necessarily my client style. As soon as I took that out of that project, it was better. So, you know, you yeah, it was interesting because I hadn't thought about it until I did that.
Well, okay. Do you make pancakes, Janice?
Yes, I do.
Do you add anything special to the batter?
Not anything special. I follow a recipe.
So we make them and we usually add like a teaspoon of vanilla or
Oh, we
sometimes
have been. I have vanilla in mine.
a squeeze of lemon.
Oh, okay.
So that's to me, that's kind of using AI in your AI brain is that you start, you have all of this stuff is so iterative. You have to be willing to like give it a try, get messy, see what the outcome is, learn and continue to improve. And I think there's a little bit of a hesitation for
Yeah.
folks. Like some folks are in and using it indiscriminately with no boundaries, no voice, no like great, it's done. I'm just going to post it. There it is. Like
Yeah.
it's easy.
Yeah.
And then there are some folks that are like, well, I haven't really tried it, or I may had it write one email and it was bad, so I didn't use it. Like they're hesitating. There's a middle ground, and it's just trying it and continuing to learn and grow and improve with it. And that's exactly what you just described, is the brain is super helpful when you're trying to develop something that is your voice and your
Yeah, between the
delivery.
two of us, right? Yeah, me and you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
it may not be the thing to add in. It might not be the teaspoon of vanilla to add in
Exactly.
when you're working with a client.
So how did like have you are you self-taught or are you
100%. I was part of a mastermind community with someone who was in the early stages of using AI with a tool called Jarvis back in the
Oh,
day,
right.
which was which was a it was OpenAI's back end with a wrapper on the front of it to help people with marketing, to help them with blog posts, Twitter, things like that. Twitter when Twitter was still Twitter. And so that was the tool that we all kind of gathered around to help with our marketing. And from playing with that, everything has grown and exploded from there.
Interesting. You built a custom podcast dashboard using Claude, I understand, that pulls data from Buzzsprout, Apple, and Spotify, right? For someone listening who thinks AI tools are only for tech-savvy people, what does that tell them about what's actually possible? I mean, I'm fascinated by this and I don't really know how it works.
I mean, look, you guys, it was a hot mess trying to build this, and it's still taking a lot of time. Was it worth it? I mean, so far-ish. It's an
Okay.
exp it is 100% an experiment, but I just found for myself that in all the things that I'm covering off on as the founder of my business, being able to get the data that I needed from all of these platforms was taking too much time to like open the thing, grab this part, open the thing, grab the next part. Like
Because there is no central place
no,
now.
and not where all of it comes together. Either that or it was one of my team members doing it, which was great, but it wasn't happening quickly and easy enough. It wasn't happening in time to be able to make like on the fly decisions about what it is that I wanted to do. And so I just started, what I did literally is said, "Hey, Claude, in the chat, here's what I want to try and accomplish. I want to be able to look at a report or a dashboard that shows me these numbers with this frequency, and then be able to interpret that context and tell me what I need to do next, what my next move might be, so that I can continue to grow and improve my podcast."
And did you just give it your URL for your podcast on each of those different platforms?
So that's where Claude Code comes in. But I started in chat because if you think about how anything gets coded, And most of us don't know anything about how coding works, right? So this is, and I am not an expert, just saying this right out loud. But anytime you build something, what I have learned is that there's usually a use case and a set of requirements. And that's what I was using Claude to help me figure out, Claude Chat to help me figure out first. So imagine I was hiring a coder to develop this for me. I had that conversation in Claude Chat and asked it to ask me more questions, to interview me as if
Got
it
it.
was a coder, so that I could get to what I might give to a coder to develop this. And it helped me parse out the different steps of the project to be able to get this built and usable.
Makes
And
sense.
I know it can sound like, oh, well, that was so easy, but there are lots of different parts and connections and things that come together to be able to make this work. But for where I am in the development of my podcast, in my personal budget from a business standpoint, and my own desires for learning, the budget is on point, because the only thing that it was costing me was however much time I wanted to invest in continuing to grow and build it out.
And so would that lead you to coding it yourself? Is that, or did,
Using Claude Code to do it.
Okay. Brilliant. I mean, it's total learning experience. I can see that. My colleague who does a lot of my tech stuff, she's already done stuff like that too, because that's where her brain goes. Mine, not so much, but I get it. That's fantastic.
Well, and that's what's fun about talking with Claude Chat about it,
Yes.
that you can be coming from the place of, you can literally type in the chat,
Yeah.
I am not techie.
Exactly.
This is what I want to, like, I want to go to the store and buy this thing, whatever
Yeah.
it is.
I love
How
it.
can we build it together? And you can just be real.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. Be brave, be fierce, right? That kind of thing. All right. So you've mentioned to me that you find ChatGPT more direct for strategic business questions, while Claude excels. Sorry, I got distracted
That's
easily.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While Claude excels at relational communication. That to me is an interesting distinction. How do you decide which tool to reach for and when?
Anytime I am writing content, podcast episodes, connecting with people, like if it's a person-to-person interaction, even if it's, me as a podcast host to a guest, or
Yeah.
me as a business owner to my clients, I reach for Claude, because it's just a little bit more lyrical. It's a little warmer.
You're
It was
right.
developed by people with humanities degrees. And there's just something that's more psychologically astute about it, in my experience. And then with ChatGPT, if I'm looking at breaking down business strategy or business offers or budgeting, or looking at putting together a plan for a client to grow their, like, to scale their business or to look to sell their business, ChatGPT tends to be a little bit better for that. Though I could certainly do it all in Claude. Like, Claude is 100% capable, but I have enough of my business history in ChatGPT that I tend to stay over there for that, and then tend to go over to Claude for the creative writing.
It's good. I liked your description. It's more lyrical, and you're right. Like it just feels like it flows better. It's not as choppy in a sense. Yeah, and I'm glad that I've finally got over the hump of starting to date Claude instead of ChatGPT. So that's good. If a female founder is listening right now and she's curious about where to start with AI in her business relationships, not the tech, just the thinking, what's the very first question she should ask herself?
I would like I usually am looking for the friction point. So where are you spending too much time, like time that you feel like you don't have to spend? Or where are you avoiding spending time because you think it's going to take too much of it when it comes to your relationships? So if you're telling yourself the story that putting together a list of people to reach out to and doing that actual outreach is taking too much time, I would start there. And again, you can just get right in the chat and say, I really need to reach out to more people. I feel like it's taking me too much time. These are the kinds of folks that I want to target because I think they'd be great customers for whatever it is that I have to offer. What are your suggestions? And then ask me questions to help me clarify what it is that I'm trying to build here because I don't even know what I want yet. Like,
Yeah,
just be
one of the
real.
sim a simple thing that doesn't require APIs and connecting.
Exactly.
Right. I just did that recently, actually, when I decided it was time to focus on a certain group of a certain industry that works well with my card sending service, and that's
Yeah.
the real estate industry. So
Yeah.
I've decided that I need to focus on new realtors to me because realtors turn over so often that I
Yeah.
want some realtors that are in California and Arizona, let's say. And so
Yeah.
I'm going to do the outreach search, but I asked Claude to give me a 5 LinkedIn message campaign that I could work with them to start to connect with new realtors. And it was pretty good, but and it did ask me some questions. However, the first email that it suggested felt like it was pitching to me, and it wasn't a direct pitch, but it was
Yeah.
just enough that I was saying something about what I do in it, and I don't ever want to do that in my first message. So I went back and I said, "Hey, this doesn't work for me." And it, we went through it, so that
Yeah.
the 5 messages ended up with me putting input to make it more my own and to not have the pitch. And it was so
Yep.
funny because Claude says, "Oh, Janice, you are so right. I blah blah blah," and you feel like you're talking to a real person with personality, but you're not.
Yes.
And you have to be reminded of that sometimes too, right?
Yes. Well,
Just
and you know what you could do, Janice, is like, so here's the next step. No, you don't
okay.
have to be techie for it.
Okay.
If you have a successful LinkedIn campaign that's worked for you before, you can give it to Claude Chat and say, I'd like to create a LinkedIn campaign creator skill for
Okay.
cold traffic. Here
Okay.
is a LinkedIn campaign from message one to message five,
Yeah,
seven,
yeah,
ten,
yeah.
whatever it is that has worked really well. Use this as the framework to create the skill. And so what you're doing is creating a tiny brain that will do it better for you each successive time that you choose to create your next LinkedIn campaign because it already has all those rules that you were going back and fixing one part
Yes.
of the conversation at a
Oh,
time.
that's really good. So that's always been my confusion since I started not long ago with Claude is when do I do a project? When do I do a skill? So if I make it a skill,
You can
that's
pull it into any project that you're working on. You can bring it into
okay.
any chat that you're working on. Yeah.
And so does it create the instructions that you have to put in the project?
Yes, and it will even create the skill for you and load it into Claude for you.
Say that again.
Yeah. So you have your LinkedIn email or
Yeah.
LinkedIn message
Yeah.
campaign
Yeah.
as your template of like this is what
Yeah.
works well,
So do
both
I put
in
that into the skill as I'm
so
building
you
it?
so you'd put that into the chat,
Oh, yeah. Okay.
and the chat would be your partner in
Yes.
building the skill.
Okay. And then does
And
it
then once
end
it's
up giving
built,
you, it gives you the I guess a URL or whatever it's called, the address for the skill?
it just gives you the markdown language, the
Okay, that's
markdown
what it is.
file
Yes.
that is the skill, and then
Got
it
it.
will install it into Claude for you.
Yes.
And then the next time you open a chat, you could say, "Hey, it's Tuesday. I want to start a new LinkedIn campaign, hat like forward slash
Yes, the skill. Yeah.
LinkedIn campaign builder."
Got it.
And you can say, instead of realtors this time, I want to do it for this group, and here's some things you need to know about it. Write the campaign. And it will already have your voice, your
Yeah.
parameters. Don't be salesy.
Yeah.
Parse it
Got
out
it.
this way. Like it'll already have it
Yeah.
for you instead of revisiting all those instructions.
Thank you. That was
Sure.
good. Yeah, I'll have to listen to this again. All right. That's awesome. You have said that the real gift of AI is that it gives you back the time to be your best and best self and connect more meaningfully with others. And we've talked about that a little bit today. I want to give you the space to land on that thought for our listeners before we wrap up.
Yeah. So I have personally experienced daily the gift that AI has been to my business as a service-based business owner. Because when you have a service-based business, everything is coming through you in some way. Either it was generated by you, the service is being provided by you, the frameworks are coming from you, the operational processes are coming from you, even if you've got a team that's built out with you. And I think AI is the single greatest tool for giving a leaders back time that they didn't even know they could ever get back. And I think that's so important just for self-care. Running a business is no joke.
Yeah.
It takes such courage and resilience and determination that any space that you can give back to yourself to take a breath, I think is so valuable. It can be the pause that you need between giving feedback that lands versus feedback that breaks things down in your business, like that makes things harder. It can give you back the time that you need to think about where you want this business to go, like strategic thinking time that you may not allow yourself. And it can also set your business up to run more effectively and efficiently without you in it all the time. And
Beautiful.
that, I mean, that's why we all got into business, not only because we love something, but because we wanted more freedom and flexibility.
Right. And for so long, we find it's the opposite. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question before we wrap up. And this is just a general question. My favorite word is curiosity. And I'd like to ask you this, my curiosity question. I didn't ask you last time.
Okay.
Two parts to it. First part is, do you think that curiosity is innate or learned? And part two is, what are you most curious about these days?
So I think it is innate, but it's like a muscle. You got to flex it or it gets flabby.
Okay. Perfect.
I am a very curious person. And what I'm most curious about these days, I mean, so many things. Always about AI because I am in a passionate pursuit of grabbing my time back. I just feel acutely aware of how much time any of us gets on this planet. And if I can grab back more of it for fun and people that I love, I'm
Yeah.
all about it. So I'm extremely curious about AI.
Perfect. And that's the fun about that question because it's there's no right or wrong answer, right? I
Yeah.
mean, but I don't know if you being from California, you probably know who Brian Grazer is. Okay, and Brian Grazer was one of the his book what's it called? A Curious Mind, it's called his one of his books. That was the impetus that started me on my podcast journey, actually, many years ago, because I loved that book and how he used to interview people back before he was famous, and mostly when he was his grandmother had instilled this curiosity in him to ask questions and so forth, and it kind of led to all these interesting interviews that he had with people along the way. And he talks of those interviews in this book. And I just love that question because I just resonated so much with what he had to say. In fact, it's probably time to read that book again.
Yeah, I'll consider that an invitation for myself.
There you go. Yeah. And last thing before we go, where can people find you? And I'll put it
Yeah.
in the show notes.
On LinkedIn at Free Range Thinking, that's my business
Oh,
name.
right. I never even mentioned the name of your business, Free Range
Yeah,
Thinking.
Free
Yes.
Range Thinking. And you can also find if you're a founder who wants to be, using AI more, you can find us at the AI for Founders community on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Tell me about that because is it a group that you have or
Yes.
it's a group?
It's
Okay.
a private group.
Yeah.
So, and not because it's anything super fancy. It's just I just wanted to carve it out from
Yeah.
a public group that everybody can join. I wanted people
Yeah.
to want
Well, I
to
would
be
love an
there.
invite if
Yes.
possible, because I would
All
love
right.
to get into your group and talk and see if I can keep up with your talk on AI.
I'm sure you can. I wanted a safe space for founders to be able to, like, some people have AI shame right now, and I just wanted people to have a safe space to be able to talk about, like, AI, what the use cases are, what they're excited about, what they're curious about, what they're struggling with. And so yeah, that's a place to be able to do that and to learn.
Fantastic. Yeah, always want to be learning. So that's great. I
Yes.
appreciate that. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here
you.
again. And I think each time we talk to someone, we learn something new and something more to bond a relationship. And I feel like I've done that with you. So thank you so much for your time.
Same, Janice. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And if you like what you hear or see, listeners, please let us know. We always appreciate it if you do. And reach out to Dawn and find out more about how she can help you as well with your AI journey. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.